pause for just a moment and just think. Don't think too deep because then I want you to fall asleep. But just think for a moment. And you don't need to answer this out loud necessarily, but just think for a moment about First Baptist Munster. The church, the people, who we are is First Baptist Munster. And I want you to think for a minute, what are three things that would make First Baptist Munster a great church? Just pause a moment. Close your eyes if you want to. Don't be distracted. But think about, what is it that would make First Baptist Munster a great church? You know, if we were to ask that question as a survey that went out amongst all the Southern Baptist churches in the Association of Cook County and in the state of Texas and maybe even in the nation, I'd be very interested to see what three things are mentioned. And on some level, with some reluctance, I might be interested to hear what three things came to your mind. I know as I asked myself this, I was amazed at some of the things that came to my mind. You know, each year that the Lord has blessed Sandy and I to be here, as I come to that anniversary of our time here, one of the questions that I ask myself is, am I being effective for you, Lord, here at Munster? Lord, are we being the church that you want us to be here at Munster? I can't speak for what the other churches are doing, but Lord, what are we doing? And if we're not, what are the things that we need to do to become that church that you want us to be? As we prepare for congregational meetings and I look at our budget, I ask myself this question. Is the money that's coming in and going out accomplishing your purpose, Lord? Is it creating opportunities to do your will? Well, this morning, as you thought about those three things, I wonder if what I believe are two of the most important things for us to go from being a church, a good church, to being a great church. I wonder if two of those things that came to your mind are prayer and the proclamation of Scripture. If we were to ask that again globally, or if we weren't to ask that question, but we were to walk into some churches, if we were to peer into the life on a weekly basis of many churches, what would it be that they say define them as a great church? Would it be because they have a cool coffee house? The Hebrews coffee house or whatever the case may be? Would it be because they have the best light show in town? Would it be because they, unlike you, have a good-looking, intelligent, charismatic, effective preacher? Would it be because of the type and style of praise and worship? Would it be the building? What would it be that says, this is how we're becoming a great church? As I review this and I continue to ask myself, the two things continue to come to the forefront in my mind of what it takes to become a great church. And those two things are prayer and proclamation of Scripture. Those are the two most fundamental duties of the Christian as part of the body of Christ. And I use that word duties because that's exactly what prayer and the proclamation of Scripture are. They are duties. They are responsibilities of each believer. And maybe we need to define some things here. The church is not a building. The church is not an entity. The church is the collection of individual believers and followers of Jesus Christ. If you raise your hand and say, I trusted Jesus Christ as the Son of God and His work on the cross to save me, and I follow Him as Lord of my life because He has saved me, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you've been baptized based on that profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you're a part of that body of Christ, the church. So what is our duty and responsibility? Prayer and proclamation of Scripture. Those are the primary duties of the church. Now, wait a minute. I thought the duty of the church was to make disciples. Isn't that what Jesus said? Go and make disciples. That's the mission of the church. That's what the church is to do, is to bring people into saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and make disciples so that they then can go out and make other disciples. But that's only accomplished when we are faithfully carrying out our duty as a member of the church to pray together, to pray individually, and to proclaim, teach, and learn from Scripture. Prayer and Scripture are our two greatest duties as members of the body of Christ. Without that, we can't accomplish effectively the mission that Christ has given us. Prayer and the proclamation of Scripture become the conduit to the power that enables us to carry out the mission of the church. So if we want to be a great church, then we have to become committed to prayer and the proclamation of Scripture. If we want to go from just being a lukewarm, comfortable setting through which we carry out our habit, our weekly habit of showing up, doing our deeds, and going home, if we want to get beyond that, then we've got to become committed members of the body of Christ, His church, to prayer and the proclamation of Scripture. We carry out the mission of church as we love God more than anything else. As we become true and committed to God's command to love Him more than anything else and to love our neighbors as ourselves. The greatest example and the greatest expression of that love for our neighbors is that we would go and tell them of God's plan for salvation. We would tell them the whole gospel, that they're sinners, that we were a sinner, but that God, in His love and mercy, provided forgiveness in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that all who call upon that name will be saved. We would proclaim to them the Scripture of God because we love them. Until we are in that place where we are able to love God more than we love ourselves and love the things that we worship above God less, we're not going to carry out the mission of the church. But the only way we get to that place where we love ourselves less than we love God, prayer and Scripture. It's been the pattern from the beginning. It will be the pattern throughout the end. Prayer and the proclamation of Scripture. We are to manifest our love for Jesus Christ. We're to carry out the mission that Christ gave us in the form of caring for the poor so that we can reach out to them with the gospel. Caring for the infirm. Looking after the prisoners who are in prison for the gospel. To care for widows and orphans in their distress, as James says. We do all that as part of our mission to make disciples. But before we can even accomplish that effectively, we need to be praying and we need to be in Scripture. Jesus left us here with this purpose in mind, that we make disciples. But he told us, before we can do that, we're going to have to be a people who pray. And we're going to have to be a people who are committed to Scripture. Because we have no power to accomplish the mission of Christ in and of ourselves. We have absolutely no power to make disciples. In fact, here's the catch. We have no desire apart from the Holy Spirit to make disciples for Jesus Christ. The natural born nature is to live for self. The natural born nature is to elevate self, is to get people to like us and for us to be successful in this world. That's our natural born nature. It's not until that nature is transformed through Jesus Christ and is continually sanctified by the Holy Spirit that that nature changes. And when that nature comes, as Paul says, as the old is gone, that old nature that cares only for self, but the new nature comes, that new nature comes with a desire to carry out the will of God, just as Jesus had a desire to carry out the will of God. But the only way that that will is nurtured, that that mission is accomplished, is when we come to God in prayer and with Scripture and in Scripture, grounded in both, seeing that the two are inseparable. If we're going to be a great church, if First Baptist Munster is going to be anything more than we are right now, we have to become a people who pray and who follow and love and value the Scriptures to the point of self-sacrifice and obedience to them, to the point of denial and our fellowship of them. We have to move from being a people who are just comfortable going along to get along. Those are the churches that are dying. Those are the churches that ebb and flow with culture. The lasting church is the church that's founded on prayer and the Word of God. Jesus tells us that He has given us His Holy Spirit for us to accomplish His work. If you go to Acts chapter 1, I'm going to invite you to turn to Acts because we're going to spend a lot of time in Acts today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking to His disciples that He prepares to ascend for the final time until His return into heaven. He says this in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And Jesus began His ministry on earth. It began in Jerusalem and was confined to the Jewish people. Now we see He's laid down His life to be the sacrifice for all the world. That mission now expands out, and it goes from Jerusalem into othermost parts of the earth. And His means for accomplishing that work is going to be His disciples. But they can't do it on their own. They're going to have power. And Jesus says, "I will supply that power. But you're going to have to incorporate that power in your life." How are you going to do that? It's going to be through prayer. And it's going to be through Scripture. They're going to have to pray for the power of God to accurately and wisely and boldly proclaim the Scripture of God, which is His gospel, which is His saving message to a lost and dying world. We're going to have power to do that. If you look at John 15, Jesus reminds us that apart from Him, we can do nothing. As He teaches this great analogy of our connection to God and producing fruit for Him, says, "He's the vine, we're the branches. If we're not connected to Him, then we're dying and we're dead. And the only thing we're good for is to be gathered up and to thrown into the fire. Because we're not producing fruit." It's interesting that he couches his two greatest teachings on the Holy Spirit in front of and behind this teaching of connection and having the power of God in us to accomplish his mission. Because we need the power of God to accomplish the will of God. But we are going to miss that power. We're not going to fully see that power in our life unless we become people who pray. When we pray, it means we're demonstrating a need. We don't pray unless we have a need. Prayer demonstrates a need that we have. And if we want to be a great church, we have to pray that God will give us what we need to be a part of that work. And what we need is His power. What we need is His Holy Spirit. What we need is the boldness and the fire and the passion and the love that the Holy Spirit brings us. Unfortunately, we might say we want to be a great church, but our actions and our priorities and how we've ordered our life don't quite demonstrate that. Jesus gives us a great example in Scripture of His life spent in prayer. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And we're going to talk about prayer and Scripture and the life of the church. On November 9th, that week, starting that Monday, November 9th and through Thursday, we're going to have an opportunity to come together each night and develop some habits of prayer individually and also collectively. Jimmy Davis is going to lead us in a time of developing those habits and making that a strategic part of our Christian walk and our life as a church. You don't want to miss that. Mark your calendar for that. We're going to be talking about prayer up until that point in our time here, because that is one of the fundamental duties of every believer, is to pray and to proclaim Scripture. To be under the proclamation of Scripture as we read Scripture daily. To be under the proclamation of Scripture as we're taught Scripture. To be under the proclamation of Scripture as we fellowship together in the Word. As we encourage one another with the Word. As we're encouraged. As we're convicted by one another with the Word. As the Holy Spirit uses the Word and brings the Word to bear on our life. That's how we become great as the Church of God. The question that hovers before us all this morning, as a part of the body of Christ called First Baptist Munster, is, do we really want to be a great church? Are we satisfied with things as they are? Do we look at our budget and say, yeah, I think we're spending it really great? Meanwhile, our baptistry is dry as the desert. The aisle in our church is unwalked because people aren't coming to Jesus Christ. People aren't seeing their need. Some of that I can take upon myself as a pastor, as a lack of leadership and something I am seeking the Lord to show me. But unfortunately, I can't take all the burden. Because we've got to be a people who want to be a great church. We've got to be a people who see our duty and want to perform it. So Ralph, how in the world do you know that's our duty? Well, we're going to go back to Scripture for that. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. As the church is growing and developing and God is blessing, one of the first problems or issues that arise help the church to define what's most important. It helps the church to say, this is what we're going to be about. The other things stem from this. The caring for widows and orphans, the meeting the needs of the hungry and the poor, all of those things stem from this. Because when we're doing these two things, we're going to accomplish those things, and by doing those things, accomplish the mission that God has given us. But first, we need to get these responsibilities down. In verse 1 of chapter 6 of Acts, in those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Greeks and Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry or the service of the Word of God in order to wait tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry or service of the Word of God." To the Word. What we find is the church defining what's most important, what the focus needs to be about, and that's prayer and the Word of God. Early on in the church, they recognized that if we're going to navigate the issues that might arise, if we're going to continue to grow, if we're going to be a great church in the name of Jesus Christ, the foundation is going to be prayer and the Word of God. Now, waiting on tables is good. Waiting on tables is something we need to do, but it's not something we do in our own strength and our own power. It's not something that should detract us from the main duty, which is prayer and the Scripture. In fact, the apostles didn't say they're not going to wait on tables. They're just not going to have that be their primary responsibility. So their primary responsibility and what Christ told them was their main responsibility would not be distracted from. And he's not saying that those who wait on the tables are less, because those that were given that responsibility by the church to wait on the tables, some of them went on to share the Word of God as they prayed for opportunity. Stephen gave his life. Philip, we see, began to win people to Christ. The main focus of the church of Jesus Christ should be prayer. It should be the Word of God. If we want to be a great church, those two things need to be working together, and we need to be dutiful together in accomplishing those responsibilities of each believer. Prayer is not a gift. The Word of God is not a gift. Those are the things God has already provided for us. Praying is a command. Praying is something that we are called to do. When we see the list of gifts of the Holy Spirit, prayer is not in there. Now, teaching and preaching the Word, that is a gift. But reading and growing in the Word, putting the Word in our heart, those are things we're called to do. We're commanded to do. To know the Word is something that we should do. After all, isn't this what we're basing our eternity on? Is this? How sad is it that we tell people, "Oh, put your faith and trust in God through Jesus Christ"? I can't tell you myself about the Word. Well, it must not be that important to you, right? I don't have anything memorized in here. But I can tell you the batting averages of everybody that played in the preseason this year in the major leagues. Is there something askew when the Scripture isn't our priority? When we have our phone, and we don't leave home without our phone, but it's really easy to walk out without our Bible in hand. We've got our video games, we've got our hobbies, but they don't center around a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. If we're going to be a great church, folks, I firmly believe we've got to become a church that is known as a house of prayer. That before a worship service on Sunday, that people have gathered in this place together and petitioned the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to overwhelm us and to break our hearts and to open Scripture before us and to move and to change and to empower so that we can go out from here and do the mission of the church, which is to make disciples, which starts by converting, which starts by giving the message of conversion, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every night, there should be prayer in the home. When's the last time that we, as the people of God, said, come to my house on this and that night, and let's just get together and pray? We might have a meal, but our focus is going to be to pray. When's the last time we said, you know, just come to my house? I'm not a Bible scholar. So let's open the Bible and let's just spend some time fellowshipping together. When's the last time we texted each other and encouraged each other in the Word of God? When do you become a people of prayer and the Word? When we're willing to lay down our lives so that it fits the Word of God, we'll begin to become a great church. Because then we'll be able to fully accomplish the mission that God gave the church. Right now we're kind of like lamps. Sometimes, some of us, that look great and are imperfect, but they don't give any light because they're not connected to any power. Because we're not praying. Many of the churches that are supposed to be a city set on a hill and a beacon to the world, you can't see them in the darkness because they're not praying. They're not living and loving and sharing the Word of God. Scripture is what God has spoken and revealed to men. It's a very simplistic definition. There's greater definitions. There's more scholarly definitions. It's the Word of God. It's what God has spoken and revealed to us and has been recorded for us. This isn't a decorative item for the dash of our car or for the floorboard of our pickup truck. It's not something that we can take or leave. It's where our whole eternity is based on. It's the Word of God. It's not words about the Word of God. It's the Word of God. What are we doing with it? That's Scripture. Prayer is simply talking to and with God. We find that as we come to the Word of God, it's going to move us to want to pray to God. Because if we're really coming with a heart for the Word of God, it's going to transform us. And it's going to move us towards God. And it's going to lead us to begin to talk with Him and to hear from Him. And God is going to speak as we pray through His Word. That's why we pray, we need to have an open Bible with us. Even in a group, to have your Bible with you when you pray, because God speaks when we begin to look and hear through His Word. He has spoken to us, folks. It's not like we need to get Him to speak to us. We need to get in a place where we can hear Him speak in His Word. God continues this great conversation. Are we in a place where we're hearing it? Worse yet, are we in a place where we want to hear that conversation? We don't want to hear that conversation. We don't want to know what God has to say to us. The foundation of the church is rooted in prayer and in the proclamation of Scripture. The very beginnings of the church of Jesus Christ in Acts started with prayer. Back a few chapters, back to chapter 1 of Acts. Acts chapter 1. This is 1 through 9. We find that Luke is telling the benefactor that helped him to and supported him in writing the book of Luke and writing this book of Acts. So in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit
to the apostles he had chosen. He's talking about the gospel that he recorded. The work of Jesus Christ, Scripture. The very founding of the church is based on Scripture, and Luke was led by the Holy Spirit to record that so that we would have that. God provided people to support Luke so that he could write that and do that for us. It says that after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Scripture, again, everything that God, Jesus, the Son of God, speaks is Scripture. And he was speaking Scripture, and they were recording it and giving it to us. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized, immersed, completely dipped in the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up, and before their very eyes, in a cloud that hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Which is exactly what Jesus told them he would do in Matthew 24 and 25. It's Scripture. The foundation of the church is on Scripture. If you go on in verse 12 through 14, we find that they were gathered in one place. That gathering was for the purpose of praying. Look at verse 14. They all joined together constantly, not occasionally, not when the wind struck them, not when things were bad. They joined together constantly in prayer along with women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They met together to seek the Lord for what they were to do, to make understanding of things. They prayed, and then Scripture informed and showed them how to make sense of all that happened and how that was going to form in them the accomplishment of the mission of Jesus Christ. As we continue on, we see in verse 15, but they appeal to Scripture to make sense of everything that's happened. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. So appeal to Scripture, hey, this is what happened. What God said would happen even back in David, that one would betray Jesus. They appealed to Scripture because their own understanding wouldn't make sense of it. But the understanding of God and His Word would make everything clear. So in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. It's trust in His Word. In Acts chapter 1, verse 20, again, they appealed to Scripture to make sense, to make the decisions. He says, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be one to dwell in it. This is the starting of the church, folks. And they're going to Scripture to make sense of what happened and to make decisions on what needs to happen. And so they appeal to Scripture to find out, okay, if this is what Scripture says, that he's going to betray and that his place is going to be deserted, then what do we do? Well, it says, we need to replace him. And so they immediately go, and they serve based on that prayer and based off of Scripture to replace Judas. Acts 2, 16 through 21, 25 through 28, 35, 34 through 35. Prayer and Scripture used to bring about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And as they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is proclaimed, the Scriptures are proclaimed. And we find that many, through that power, through the prayer, and through the proclamation of Scripture, the church is expanded because people are coming to Jesus Christ. Because when they hear the Scripture, they're torn in their hearts, and they cry out and say, what must we do to be saved? And Peter tells them, repent, be baptized, all of you. It comes through Scripture. It comes through prayer. And in 242, we find that these are the things that their fellowship was built on. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching with the Scripture and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayer. Notice the two things that are the bookends of that foundation, the Word of God and prayer. If you're going to be a great church, if we're going to see God move like He moved here, we've got to become a people, one who want to see that. And in our desire to see it, know that our duty and responsibility is to come together and pray. To come together and study the Word of God and know the Word of God and grow in the Word of God together. In Acts 3:1, we find that this passion to pray continued. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. As they were going to pray, God was about to do something great because they were going to join in prayer. See that then? They healed this man. They're able to go then from that and testify to all the Jewish religious leaders. They're able to open the door because they're going to pray for an opportunity for Scripture to be proclaimed. Acts 3:17-18, it's another appeal to Scripture and the sharing of the gospel. And in verse 19 we find this, but Peter and John replied, just for yourselves, chapter 3, verse 19, says this, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Because they were praying and because they were proclaiming Scripture, they had the opportunity to share the gospel and to win souls for Jesus Christ. Acts 4:23-31. This is the last one we'll cover. As Peter and John are arrested, the people of God were praying. And on their release, verse 23 of Acts 4 says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Prayer was the foundation for everything that they did. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. Notice as they're praying, they're proclaiming Scripture together. They're praying Scripture. They're involved and immersed in the Scripture as they pray to God. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word. They're praying as a group that they might with boldness speak the Scriptures into the lives of those, even those that are persecuting them. You see that there? The foundation of the church is prayer and Scripture. So we may speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You know, we don't see great movements, great things of God in the church. We don't pray for them. We don't come together. We're not gathered in one place praying. That's not a priority. We're good enough to have things as they are. Long as I'm comfortable, don't rock the boat. I'm just about asleep. If you rock the boat, it's going to wake me up. And it's going to be uncomfortable. We folks are back together in the power of prayer and in Scripture. And they prayed fervently for boldness to share the Word of God. Not for a new boat. Not for just a pass from them. But say, hey, this is what's going on. We're coming at it, Lord. Make us a great church who stands even in the face of persecution. Verse 31. After they prayed, here's where we see some of this great power. The place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. You see that? They prayed. They went to Scripture. They appealed to Scripture. As they prayed, they asked, Lord, help us to know Scripture and then help us to share it boldly. Not just puff ourselves up and feel good, but Lord, as we're praying, let us share your word boldly. But what happens? They finish praying. God shakes the place in pleasure. God sends the Holy Spirit because they wanted the Holy Spirit. They prayed for that power. And because of that, they spoke the word boldly. And then we know if we keep reading, which we won't today, but as we keep reading, people were continually being added to their number. Why? Because they were praying together. And they were going to Scripture. They were growing in Scripture. And they were growing together in a boldness to share the words of life, which is the gospel. You see, they've been impacted by Jesus Christ in such a way. Not an easy believism that says you get your salvation and you put on the cruise control and you just roll until the day you die, and hopefully they sing Amazing Grace over you and you just ascend right on into heaven and things go smooth. No, that wasn't good enough for them. Because they encountered the risen Lord. They wanted the power that He promised. Because they wanted to accomplish the mission He came and died to accomplish. To make the opportunity for. And that was to make disciples. But they recognized as a church, if we're going to do this effectively, if we're going to do this where it matters, it's going to be more than a coffee shop. It's going to be more than changing the decor. We're going to have to get serious. We're going to have to come to a place where we really want to see that happen. And the evidence of that is we'll be calling out to God in desperation to move. Lord, please, all around us are lost and dying people. Some are our own family. Lord, come and move. Come in my church and move. Move in my heart. Move in my family. Lord, let me invite any who will come to my house. And let's begin to pray that you will move us to speak boldly your word. If we miss either of those two components, we're never going to effectively carry out the mission of the church. First, are we content to be what we are right now? Is this good enough for us? Do we feel pretty good about ourselves right now as a church? Are we happy? Are we content? Or do we want to be something more? Do we want to be a stone that hits the tranquil water of the world around us and causes ripples? Not because we're self-righteous and annoying, but because we're bringing the rock of the great confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that all are destined for a sinner's hell unless they make that great confession themselves and reach out to Jesus Christ to be saved. Unless we get outside of what the world says we do, unless we reorder our lives around what Scripture tells us are the foundations and the responsibilities of every believer, we'll continue to be good enough. I wonder today, as a church, do we want to be a great church where the Lord is adding to his number daily those coming to Jesus Christ. It won't happen overnight. It'll happen as we humble ourselves and realize we need power. If we want to accomplish the work of God, we have to recognize first that the mission of God is to make disciples. So first we got to want to do that. The only way we're going to want to do that is if we ourselves have been transformed by the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. If the old is gone in our life through Jesus Christ and the new has come, only then will we even have a desire to get out of our seats and take the message of the gospel to the lost. Only then will we be desperate enough to say, Lord, we want that power in our lives. And we're going to come together. I don't care what we have to change, what we have to do. There's one thing that's most important. That's your will and accomplishing it. And if we can't come to the place where we desperately pray for it and we're desperately seeking Scripture to grow in boldness, we'll continue to be good enough. As our praise team comes today, two decisions lay before us. Do we cruise as we are? Or do we say, enough's enough? I want to see us be a great church. I want to see us be a people that are broken for the lost. I want to see us be a house of prayer. Because I want to see God move in a mighty way. I want to see my life change. I want to see other lives change. I want to know the Word. I want my whole life to revolve around the Word of God and prayer with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because I want to effectively fulfill the mission. I wonder today, would you say, I've been listening, but I want it. And I'm going to commit my ways as a part of the body of Christ at First Baptist Munster to prayer and the Word of God as the keys to my life, to carrying out my purpose, my reason for existence, and to incorporate the power that will help me to do that. We're going to sing, but then you have to wait for a song. You just come up here before God and say, God, I've been listening. I've got to confess, I've been comfortable with church as it is, my life as it is. Maybe you're comfortable, just maybe, because you've never been transformed. That's the second decision maybe that you need to make today is, I'm going to come to you, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and Lord. Then I can know your power. My will be changed to follow your will, and then I'll want to go and accomplish your work. If the Holy Spirit's speaking today, would you respond? Don't wait for someone else. Don't wait, well, if someone else wants that for the church, then I'll wait and see if they... Maybe you're the first one that needs to take the step and say, you know what? Today marks the day I want this to be a great church.